Nancy O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. We're very happy to greet you again in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we love, whom we honor, whom we serve, and whom we preach. You've noticed the servants of the Lord, the messages, it says they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And then again it says Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the Lord says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Do the work of an evangelist. Yes, we preach the word, we preach the gospel, we preach Christ. Now the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now if we want it to be God's power, we must preach the gospel that God has given us for this age. The word gospel means good news. There's much good news in the Bible, the gospel of the kingdom. Many things that Christ did while he was on earth, when he healed the sick and raised the dead. Suppose your child had been very sick or dead, and some neighbor had come in and said, there's a man here in this community by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and he has raised the dead and healed the sick, and he can heal your child. You want me to go get him? My, think of the rejoicing in the heart of that parent, of that loved one. If the Lord had come in and raised the dead and healed the sick, that was good news. But that's not God's good news for today. Today, Paul said, if you remember, I must finish my course with joy and preach and give out the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. Now there has always been the manifestation of grace and the mixing of grace in the messages of God. Let's notice this wonderful verse in the first chapter of John. In the first chapter of John, a very interesting statement here. In the 17th verse, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we are familiar with the truth in the Bible that Moses was the mediator of the old covenant, and Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. Well, there was a mediator years before Moses was born. His name was Melchizedek. He was the high priest of God. And you remember that Abraham paid tithes to him long before Levi or Moses was born. Well, before the days that we have Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek, we had a man by the name of Noah. Now, God gave something to Noah. He didn't give him the law. He gave something 1,600 years before Noah was here. The Lord gave something to Adam and Eve. So when we read this statement here, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, we should read that in connection with other commitments and other scriptures, like 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Perhaps you've noticed this statement. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the Apostle Paul says, in the 17th verse, a dispensation is committed unto me. Now that's very interesting. The Lord committed something to Paul. The Lord committed something to Peter. The Lord committed something to John the Baptist. The Lord committed something to David. The Lord committed something to Moses. The Lord committed something to Noah. The Lord committed something to Adam. And we must do what the Lord says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now in one simple division of the scriptures, we read in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning there, the 13th and the 14th verses, death reign from Adam to Moses when there was no law. From Adam to Moses. Now from the time that Adam left the Garden of Eden until Moses was on Mount Sinai 2,500 years later, during those 2,500 years, death reigned, although the Ten Commandments had never been given. After the Ten Commandments were given, there was a new definition of law of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. God says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And anyone who transgressed that law was a sinner, committed sin. But the people who lived before the Ten Commandments were given. They too were sinners. Adam transgressed the law. God committed something to Adam. He didn't give him the Ten Commandments, but he gave him one strict order. He put him in the Garden of Eden in a state of innocence, in the image and likeness of God, and he says, thou shalt not take partake of that fruit of that tree. That was the law of sin and death. For he said, if you will disobey this law and eat, the day in which you eat it, ye shall surely die. Now, Adam was faithless. He did not obey that which God committed unto him and plunged his own family and all the human race into sin. For by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Some 16 centuries later, God saw that the imagination of the heart was evil continually, and he said, the end of all flesh is at hand, and he called a man by the name of Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and told him to prepare an ark. And by faith he prepared that ark for the saving of his soul, and he preached that God was going to bring an end to all flesh. There would be the manifestation of God's wrath, and he was going to bring judgment, and a judgment-proof ark was prepared, pitched within and pitched without. That word pitch has the same meaning as the word atonement. That was a judgment-proof ark, and Noah and his family went in, and God shut the door. Now when we read, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, there wasn't any condemnation to those who were in that ark. And that ark was a picture and a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's judgment-proof ark today. The only place of safety today to escape the awful wrath and judgment of God is to be in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He has passed out of death into life, out of Adam into Christ, and he is God's new creation, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now Noah was not under the law. He did not have the Ten Commandments given to him. He wasn't an Israelite. No, and he wasn't a member of the body of Christ. He lived in a different dispensation. A dispensation different from the later dispensation of the law, and quite different from the dispensation under which the 12 apostles worked with the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now the Lord made a covenant with David and his seed, from which we get the gospel of the kingdom. In the gospel of the kingdom, we have David's throne and the nation Israel in view. And when John the Baptist came, the Lord gave him a ministry committed to John the Baptist. He didn't tell John the Baptist to go out and preach the gospel of the grace of God. John preached baptism unto repentance for the remission of sin, a message wholly different from the message given to the Apostle Paul, except the element of repentance with perhaps a different shade of meaning, but he had that committed unto him. Now there are a great many people in their preaching, they do not rightly divide the word of truth. They get the people confused as they're confused themselves, not knowing the difference between the period from Adam to Moses when there was no law, and then later on when God, 1,500 years before Christ came, called Moses on Mount Sinai, and the law was given by Moses. The law was given to Moses. The law was given to the nation Israel. Moses was the mediator, and to Moses, God not only gave the Ten Commandments and the law and ordinances, but he gave a very complicated system of religion called divers baptism, meats and drinks, and carnal ordinances, which were imposed upon Israel until the time of the Reformation. Now it was under the reign of law and not under the reign of grace that Jesus Christ came and was born under the law. He was made under the law when he was made of a woman. He was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He was also baptized that he might fulfill all righteousness. His custom was to go to Israel's synagogue on Israel's Sabbath. He spent his life under the law and said, I came not to destroy but to fulfill. But when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished, and he became the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But he had committed then to the apostle Peter and his associates the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now Peter began on the day of Pentecost to use the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and later on used the key with the Cornelius, the Gentile. And after he used the keys of the kingdom of heaven, then the dispensation of the grace of God and the body, the church which is the body of Christ, began. Not until after the keys of the kingdom had been used by Peter. Now the apostle Paul did not work under the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It's true that God granted repentance unto life to Cornelius when Peter preached unto him, in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of God. But there was grace in that message. There was grace on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. There was some grace in the message of John the Baptist, as we've told you. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in all those chapters, the word grace in connection with the sinner's salvation is not mentioned one single time, whereas it is found many times in the book of Romans and about 12 times in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, the apostle Paul tells us that he's the messenger of the grace of God, and a dispensation of grace was committed unto him, and the dispensation of the mystery was committed unto him. Now the apostle Paul had something committed to him that was not committed to Moses, not committed to Peter and the 11, and we make a great mistake, a great blunder it is, to confuse the ministry of Peter and the 11 with the ministry of the apostle Paul, who had a very distinctive, separate message. And he said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, I have laid the foundation. I am the wise master builder. And he uses the personal pronoun concerning himself more than 1,000 times in the 14 messages of the Bible in which Paul's ministry is recorded. Now, after the fall of Israel, then God sent a message to the Gentiles which had never been sent before. And until we know the difference between grace in former dispensations and the dispensation of the grace of God, we'll be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Beloved, don't let anyone confuse you with those messages that were all mixed up with the law and the kingdom, but to see the real message of the grace of God, that you can be saved by the infinite, matchless grace of God through faith in a crucified and resurrected Christ. And that same grace is sufficient for your Christian living. This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare.